Father God, we thank you for the privilege of being able to come here together this morning and to receive from your word. We pray that you would open our hearts and our ears to hear from you as we seek to serve you in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. I preached at the first service and Matt reminded me that I didn't tell people who I am. I haven't got an inflated ego and think that everyone should know me, but I did forget. So my name's Vanessa Kirby, and I'm married to Jeff, and we have two children. We became Christians through Billy Graham in 1985. So we lived very locally to this church. We'd never been to church before, either Jeff or I, except for weddings and funerals and baptisms. And we got a notice through the door about Billy Graham. Made a commitment, not as quite as straightforward as that, but we did make a commitment together. And this was our local church. So we came here in 1985 and St. Barnabas nurtured us and discipled us. And then in 1998, we left Middlesbrough. And we went to Sheffield to be involved in some ministry there for 17 years. So we did different things, community things, but Jeff's work in latter years was supporting people who have become destitute through the asylum system. And my work in latter years was setting up a project to befriend women in prostitution in Sheffield. And over them 17 years, Sir Barnabas has funded and supported and prayed for us. So we've kept good links with St. Barnabas. Over the last couple of years, I moved to a senior position in the organisation I work for, a Christian organisation. And it was something of a challenge after doing face-to-face work on the streets, but it was something I felt very called to. And then the board of that organisation made a decision which I didn't agree with. And I knew that if I stayed, I would lose my personal integrity. So I resigned. It was all a bit crazy. We lost our house. The organisation gave us a house, a bit like a vicarage. It was our main salary because my husband was studying at the time. And our kids have been brought up in Sheffield for 17 years. So it was quite traumatic, to say the least. But we decided to come back to Linthorp in March, our home, really. We have the privilege of owning a house here. So it was quite straightforward to come back here. And the reason I share that with you is because the title of today's service is Forgiving. And I share my story because forgiving is a live issue for me. And when Doreen gave me the list of themes for the autumn and said, will you pick one to preach on? I was thinking, don't pick forgiving. Pick anything else, but don't pick forgiving. And I looked at the others and looked at all the passages and I thought, I haven't got a heart for any of those, but I have for forgiving. So I said to Jeff, what do you think? And he went, I wouldn't preach on that one as your first preachment. But anyway, I'm a person of faith. So I took it and said I'll preach on forgiving. It's a live issue for me, which is why I'm grateful that the theme of today's service isn't forgiveness, but forgiving. If it had been forgiveness, I might not have decided to preach, but it's about forgiving. And it's a live issue for many of us, whoever we are. There's one surety in life, and that is we will all come face to face with having to forgive or being asked to forgive at some point in our lives. And for some of us, it might be once or twice, and for others, it will be time and time again. It's a live issue. A live issue for us in the church here, as the family of God, as we live and worship and serve alongside each other. It's a live issue for us in our family life, our extended family life. It's a live issue for us in our communities where we live, where we work, where we study. And it's a live issue for us the world over. The other thing about forgiving is I thought I knew quite a lot about forgiving. Being trained in a college of evangelists, 3 years training, and being called to work with women on the street who've got lots of issues of forgiving. And I thought I knew quite a lot about it till a year ago. And then I realised that actually I did know a lot about forgiving in my head, but I'm not sure I knew a lot about it in my heart. So it's been completely turned on its head for me, which is why I say that I'm pleased that today's about forgiving and not about forgiveness. So it may be about someone said a word to you that's cut deep, and that you might be able to let go of pretty quickly. It may be something that someone's done to you that has caused pain and trauma. It may be something that's been quite recent over recent days and weeks, or it may be something that's been hanging around for decades and something that changed the course of your life or the life of someone you know. And that you live with the outcome of that experience continually. It's a live issue for us all. So I said about thinking I knew about forgiveness, and it's been said that the more we know, the less we understand. And that's for many things within the Christian faith. But for me, that's particularly true about forgiveness and forgiving. So daily in our news, we're hit with stories of tragedies and traumas, of families that have had people snatched away from them, of incidences that have turned whole lives and whole families and whole communities upside down. And we know, don't we, in our news headlines that, you know, the things that happen in our world at the minute all touch on forgiving. And some of the news headlines, I don't know about you, but make me think, heck, where does that family, where does that community begin to start to forgive and move on? And I mentioned earlier in the first service, there's been a few things in the news this week that have hit me, and particularly a story from South Africa about the family of Reeva Steenkamp, as Oscar Pistorius has been released on house arrest to complete his 5-year jail sentence. And, I just think, heck, how do Reeva's family begin to start the process of forgiving? And she was interviewed this week, Reeva's mum, and she said, "In my heart, I don't want revenge towards Oscar. I'm past that. Once you've told God that you forgive, you have to forgive." The difficult thing about forgiving is that there's no timing fixed to it. So what would be right for one person, a phase, a stage, a process, would be different for somebody else. And that's hard in the middle of forgiving, because if you can look to the end and see an end to the process, then that can keep you going when it's difficult. But when you don't see an end, that's pretty tough. And when some days you wake up and you're really positive and feeling light and in spirit and you're going to go for it, and then the next day you wake up and you're filled with rage and anger, as if the incident just happened yesterday. It's been said that forgiving is not an emotion, but it's an act of will. So it's a choice that we need to, have to take. When all your emotions and your feelings are screaming out that this isn't fair, it isn't right. Why should I be the one that's doing the forgiving? It's an act of will to say, I forgive. I remember as a young Christian, it was Ian Parkinson actually, who was coming to speak to us soon, talking a lot about repentance. And the act of repentance is about turning away, almost physically turning away from the past. And having received God's forgiveness, we move on. And for me, what's been helpful in thinking about that is that's how I am learning to see about forgiving. It's about actually turning. So where we might feel that we want to turn away from the person or the people or the group who've injured or harmed us, for me, it's as if God's saying that you need to turn towards them to forgive. I'm not saying that literally that we need to meet with them, although that is right in some cases. In some cases, it's right to protect ourselves and not have face-to-face contact with people who've hurt us. Again, it's different for every individual. But for me, it's helpful that in repentance we turn away and in forgiving we turn towards. And it might be helpful for us to do that in our heads. I've been a Christian for 30 years, I might have already mentioned that, and this is the first time in this last year that I've struggled to say the Lord's Prayer. Never ever had problems saying, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. But there was one Sunday in church that I just couldn't say that bit of the Lord's Prayer. And I wonder if a lot of things in liturgy and in the church just become habit, don't they? But I wonder if we actually need to stop and think about what we're saying, and especially in that section of the Lord's Prayer that we'll say later. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. It's one thing saying it with your head and your lips, and it's another thing saying it with your heart. It's important to consider that forgiving isn't a one-off event, but it's a process. And that's what I've learnt this past year. So for me, in the past, it was about saying that you forgive someone and moving on. And I've learnt that in this past year, for me anyway, and I know for a lot of people, forgiveness doesn't work like that. It is a process. A process where we can't put time limits on it, and where some days we'll think that we're striding ahead, and other days we'll think that we're in a rut, and however is this going to end? Some beautiful words from Paul to the church in his letter to the Colossians. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Those words are really helpful for three reasons. Firstly, if you're someone who is in the process of forgiving, or you're stuck in the process of forgiving, or you're aware that you need to begin that process, those words and that image of clothing yourself with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience and love would serve as well in what can be a difficult and trying time, to be gentle on ourselves and not to expect too much of ourselves. And to go with it some days, which is all we can do, because we can't always fight it. Some days we've just got to go with it and go with the emotions and the feelings that we have. So for those of us who are in the process of forgiving, I would encourage you to visualise that clothing. And it might be that that has to happen every day, throughout the day. For those of us who know of people whether in the church, whether in our families, in our communities, where we work, where we go to school or college, it would be good for us to focus on us being the one who puts those clothes on compassion and kindness, on patience, on those around us who are struggling. And to bear with people. I know that I've had lots of friends and family who aren't Christian who've supported us over the past year. And boy, have they heard some rants. I'm not one for swearing, but there's been some quite colourful words said in our home in the past year. And I've learnt to accept that's all right. But for those who are supporting or befriending or journeying with people who are forgiving, often things for the person who's been injured spill out. And, you know, we can be quite cold or sharp or hard when we don't mean to be. So for you who are supporting, clothe others. Clothe them in love and kindness and in prayer. And finally, as we think of that clothing, in John's Gospel, Jesus says, "I have come that you might have life and have it to the full." And the thing about not forgiving is that it's highly likely that our lives, our hearts and our minds will start to get packed with anger and bitterness and rage. But if we clothe ourselves with those things that Paul talks about, then in the long term there won't be any room for those things. I'm not saying they'll disappear overnight, but in the long term, that clothing that Paul speaks about cannot live side by side within us with anger and rage and bitterness. And Jesus come that we might have life and have it to the full. And to have it to the full, he wants us to have freedom and to let go. So I pray that for those here this morning who are being nudged by God to think about who they might need to forgive, or maybe an injury that they need to revisit, that you'll use the rest of the service and the opportunities to meet with the ministry team at the end. Take the opportunity. For those of you who are journeying with people who are forgiven, I pray that you know, through what I've shared, that you might be able to leave today committed to clothing others with compassion and kindness and patience and love. But I pray most of all that whether today or in the weeks and months ahead, and I include myself in this, that we may know Jesus' love and life and freedom in all its fullness. Let's pause for some time of quiet, and then I'll just lead us in a prayer, and we can give ourselves to God or those that we care about to him. Holy Spirit, would you come and clothe us with your compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience and love. Would you come and banish any sense of unforgiveness, any bitterness or rage or anger or revenge, and that you would just come in and flood us, that we might be set free to live for you. We thank you for your forgiveness of us and pray that you might help us and sustain us, that we might forgive others. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.